we have a Savior who is living on high at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Lord, we thank you that you did not stay in the tomb, Lord, but after 3 days you were victorious over the devil and sin and death, and you're alive today, and we rejoice in that, and we praise you today for your power to do that and to intercede for us and to make a way for us to go to heaven in your time. And Lord, we do want to remember these special requests today. We thank you that Benjamin Carrick is in the States now and has returned safely from Afghanistan. Lord, thank you for having your hand upon his life and preserving it. And then, Lord, for these special requests today for the Miller family, for Mary, Lord, you know her special needs today, for Jamie's unspoken request today. You know that need. We think of the prison ministry, and Lord, thank you for that great outreach of our church, and just continue to bless it as they go every week and minister there and help them to see souls saved and lives changed through this ministry. Do think of the Wampler's nephew, just found out he has cancer, Lord, and we pray that you give the doctors wisdom and they might be able to treat it and might be able to bring him back to health. Think of Donna Davenport today as she is sick. We pray that you touch her and again, Lord, do a work in her body, and thank you for her faithfulness to our church and to the ministries of the church, and Lord, just bless her and help her today, we pray. Lord, ask you now as we look at your word, may you speak to us, Lord, not so we would just know more, but that we might be changed. And Lord, we pray that as we study your word, we would apply the truths therein, and that it would change our lives and make us into what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. By now you should be in Colossians 3. If not, you've got a minute before I get there. This morning, I told Jim this morning when my alarm went off this morning, my first thought was, it's Easter morning and Jesus is alive. My second thought wasn't quite as spiritual. It was, don't put your head back on the pillow. But what a great time to think about the resurrection. Jesus Christ came into this world some 2,000 years ago, lived 33 and a half years, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, did not break the law at any point, and yet he died. And they took Jesus Christ. We were at Bob Jones yesterday and saw their presentation of the Easter story. And they had what they do is they take famous paintings and they reenact those paintings with real people and also different sculptures and things. And one of those was Christ hanging on the cross. And I just sat there and God worked in my heart. And I thought, oh, there's Jesus Christ dying for me. But you know, that death on the cross would have no significance, would not help us at all if 3 days later he had not risen from the dead. Because when he rose from the dead, it signified that his payment for my sin was acceptable to the Father. That sin had been defeated. That death had been defeated. That the devil had been defeated. My, the resurrection. What a rejoicing time for Christians. Now, we're in Colossians chapter 3. And the first four verses, I've entitled this, Living a Risen or a Resurrected Life. And as we study this passage, we're just going to finish it up this morning. There are actually three resurrections in this passage. Hope you have your thinking caps on, that the cold hasn't frozen your brain yet. Let's look at these four verses. See if you can pick out the three different resurrections that are found in these four verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Did you see the three resurrections? Now, we're going to review very quickly, because in verse 1 there is a past resurrection. Jesus Christ, as we've talked about, died a physical death and had a physical resurrection. When you got saved, it was if God took you back 2,000 years and placed you in Christ, and you too took part in his death and his burial and his resurrection. There's two of the resurrections. You probably caught those two. Now, Paul says, look, folks, because of your past resurrection, you have a present responsibility. When you died to the penalty of sin. You died to the elements of the world. And I'm afraid what happens to many of us, even though we are citizens of heaven, we live like citizens of this earth. And we do have dual citizenship, undoubtedly. But probably if you think back over this last week, most of your time was spent thinking about the here and now. And our lives are consumed by the here and now. And Paul says, look, folks, your responsibility as a resurrected believer is to be seeking those things which are above. Now, how do you do that? Well, the next phrase tells us, you set your affection or your mind on things above. Let me ask you, how much time this week did you spend thinking about the things above? Should we pray and have an invitation? Now, the simple matter of fact is, if you do what comes naturally, your life will be consumed with the here and now. And you will live for the here and now with no thought for heaven and the things of heaven. By the way, how do you set your affection or your mind on things above? It's real simple. Why are you here today? Well, you know if you didn't come that I'd come visit you, and it's a whole lot easier to come here than me come to your house for 2 hours, right? I hope you're here to set your mind on things above. Every time you take this book and you read it and you meditate on it and you apply it, what are you doing? You're setting your mind, your affection on things above. That's why you need to read it every day. That's why you need to remember what you read. I'm preaching to myself too. Isn't it a shame? I can get up and have devotions at 6:30, and by 9:15, I can't remember what I read. Now, how much do you think that's going to help me? Not a whole lot. It's a battle, isn't it? But as we do that, folks, we'll meditate on things above, and when you're thinking about things above, what are you going to do? Well, that leads you to seeking things that are above. So there's our responsibility. Now, last week in verse 3, we saw our present position. Our present position, verse 3, for ye are dead, now we've already covered that, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And we talked about the secrecy of our position. When you got saved, some amazing things took place. Give me some theological words describing what took place when you got saved, real quickly. New birth. Justification. You were declared to be righteous. What else? Sanctification. In heaven, you're sanctified. Now, we're working on it here, aren't we? Okay, what else? Redemption. You're bought out of the slave market of sin. What else? Free from sin. You're forgiven. Hallelujah. What else? Being transformed, right? That's going on too, part of sanctification. Adoption. That's right, the new birth takes place. You receive new life. All of those things take place. Let me ask you a question. How many of those things did you see happen? Now, you see the results of them. Can you see justification, redemption, adoption? Those are all spiritual things. They are hidden. They are hidden. And he says, and your life is hid. Your spiritual life, your standing with God is hid. Now, what can that lead to in our life? Well, it can lead to what? If you can't see the fact that your name is written in heaven, if you cannot see that you have been justified or redeemed or whatever, what can that lead to in your life when you're struggling spiritually? Doubt. Am I really a child of God? And we said last week, wouldn't it be great if when you got saved, the moment you're kneeling in the altar and you pray and you trust Christ and you get up and right on your forehead and it says, believer. And when the devil comes to you and says, Bennett, you're not a Christian, you say, wait a minute, buddy, right here it says believer. But salvation is a spiritual event. It can also cause the world to mock us and to misunderstand us. They don't understand why you do what you do. What are they doing right now? Well, they're mowing their lawn. And they're complaining because yours isn't mowed, okay? Because you're in church, you fanatic. So it's hidden. But, you know, not only is it secret, but there's great security. This is a great thought. We ended here last week. I want to take a couple minutes to pick it up and move on. But look, you are hid with Christ in God. What a great truth. As a believer, even though you may not feel it, even though you may not see it, hallelujah, you are secure in Christ. And Christ is in God. I gave you a couple of verses. Let me go back to those real quickly. John 10, 27 through 30. Now here, listen to this very carefully. It's exactly what he's saying here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what's the next word? Never perish. What does never mean? That's deep, isn't it? They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Who's speaking? Christ. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Now, isn't that we're in Christ? But notice the next verse. And he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that exactly what he's saying in Colossians 3? We're in Christ, we're in God. Here's the picture. We're in Christ's hands, we're in God's hands. How can that be? The next verse tells us, I and the Father are one. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Are you secure as a believer? Oh, my soul. You're in Christ's hands. You're in God's hands. And who can pluck you out of God's hands? We looked at Romans 8 very quickly, but this is such a great passage. Again, don't look it up. We're going to have you look up 2 Peter in a minute, or 1 Peter. But in Romans 8, he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, what's the answer? If God for you, who can be against you? Nobody. And he goes on, he says, look, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to God's elect? What's the answer? Who can accuse God's elect and say, no, you're not really a Christian if you're elect, if you're saved? Who can say that? What's the answer? Shake your head this way. Nobody, okay? He goes on, he says, who is it that condemneth? Who can condemn you? What's the answer? Nobody. Because we're secure in Christ, and Christ is in God. Wow. Now, turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. By the way, if you want to jump up and take a lap or two while we're talking about your security in Christ, help yourself. I mean, what a wonderful truth, folks. Aren't you glad it's not trust Christ and then you have to live it? Now, if you really are a believer, will you live it? Yes. But your getting to heaven does not depend upon you living it, folks. It depends on what Christ did. Okay? Now, you're at 1 Peter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Aha, notice this. Why do you have a living hope? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and who are kept by your own power. A lot of people preach that, don't they? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How many of you ever had a reservation somewhere and you went there and they'd lost your reservation? Have you ever had that happen? Aren't you glad, folks, when you show up in heaven, they're not going to say, oh, Tom Cole, let's see. Seemed like we used to have your name in here, but I can't find it now. Had a computer glitch, Tom. Sorry about that. No. Your reservation's secure, and he says at the end of that, which will be revealed in the last time, and that leads us right back to Colossians and our text for today, Colossians 3 and verse 4. Colossians 3 and verse 4. By the way, God does give us some physical signs, by the way, to help us, and there are 11 of them in the book of 1 John. And I'm a little ahead in Colossians, so Lord willing, next week and the next time we're together, I'm going to look at those 11 signs that you are a true believer. By the way, 1 John was not written to rob you of your assurance. It was written to give you assurance. Okay? 1 John 5:13. And Lord willing, when we get together next week, we'll cover some of those. If you want to read 1 John, here's your homework. Okay? Here's your homework. I should give it to the end of class, but I would encourage you to get out the book of 1 John. There's only 5 chapters. It's easy reading. See how many marks of a true believer you can find in those in 1 John 1 through 5. Okay? And then we'll cover them in Sunday school next couple weeks. All right. Finally, the future revelation. Here it is in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life. Now remember, right now, spiritually, we are what? What's the word in verse 3? We are hid. But there's going to be a time when that's going to be revealed. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, notice first of all the future revelation of Christ. And it says, when Christ, who is Christ? What does Christ mean? What does that name mean? Christ is the Messiah, which is the anointed, or the who was anointed in the Old Testament beside the priest was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Christ, who is going to come and set up his rule and his reign for 1,000 years and then set up his eternal reign. This is Christ. Now, this next phrase is amazing. Look at that. Christ, who is our life. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I've been reading through John in my devotions, and my, I have been blessed. It is just great. What a great book. John chapter 1. Notice verse 4. In fact, we'll start at verse 3 so you get the whole thought. John 1, 3. All things were made by him. Now, who's him? Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, he's talking about creation, and it says, where did life come from? Christ. He is the source of all life. He is the creator. When man was formed, he was formed out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God is the source. Christ is the source of life. Look in John 6:35. This would be a great message to preach someday. John 6:35, just how Christ is the life in the book of John. We've got the feeding of 5,000 here. They're talking about it. They're talking about all these things after the fact. In verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you need spiritual life, where do you get it? You get it from Christ. Look in John chapter 14 and verse 6. You know this passage. In fact, let's just say it together. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the life. I was speaking with a man this week who is not a saved man and was talking to him about the fact that he is spiritually dead. When you're born, you are born spiritually dead. You cannot fellowship with God. You don't have that ability because you have no spiritual life. And his desire is to, boy, you hear this a lot. He said, you know, I've got to straighten out some things in my life and then I'm going to get saved. What's wrong with that thinking? It's backwards. He is spiritually dead. How can he straighten out his life? What you need is spiritual life. And when a person gets saved, folks, Jesus came that we might have spiritual life, that we might be regenerated. And that changes everything. And Jesus said, I am the life. He said, chapter 11, verse 25, don't need to turn there, but this is the story about Lazarus, and Martha comes to Christ and said, oh, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, oh, if you didn't I tell you about the resurrection, all the things. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Why do we as believers have the assurance of resurrection someday? Because Jesus is alive. And we have resurrection life. All that is just found in the book of John, folks. What a great truth. I read just a few days ago in John 14, verse 19, and Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ, who is your life. Wow, what a great designation. Now, what does it say about Christ? Back in Colossians. Colossians. It says, but when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. All right, now, in verse 3, we're talking about hidden things. We are hid in Christ. Is Christ appearing right now? Please don't say yes. Okay. Okay. No. Where is Christ right now? All right. Sitting at the right hand of God. Can you see that? No. There is going to come a day when Christ is going to be revealed. When he's going to come back to this earth. His second coming. Did you know there are over 300 references or indications about the second coming of Christ in the New Testament? Help me, give me some of those verses. You don't have to quote them, but help, do the best you can. Some verses that tell us that Christ is coming again. All right, if I go away, I will come again. Good. Very good. In Acts, where the angels came and said, you see him go to heaven? In the cloud, he's going to come in like manner. Very good. That's two. There's a couple more. We're down to 298 to go. Okay. Yes, sir. 1 Thessalonians 4, great passage. I think I have that written down. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. Wow. The Lord is going to return. I also have down Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was, now obviously I had a little more opportunity to find verses than you did. But it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus is coming again. And when he is, folks, he's going to be made manifest. Now, I don't want to really spend a whole lot of time here. But when he comes back the next time, who will he be made manifest to? Believers. Yeah. At the rapture, believers, he'll be made manifest to believers. He will not be made manifest to all people. He will be when he comes again in the Revelation to come and set up his kingdom and judge. But I'm just throwing that out there for those that are concerned, okay? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. There will come a day in Revelation 1:7 when every eye shall see him. He will be revealed. Now, when is Christ coming back? You don't know. Well, if you don't know when he's coming back, he's probably not. The word of God says he's going to come as a thief in the night. Everybody ever had a thief call you and say, by the way, tomorrow night about 7:45, I'll be there. They don't do that. Just because we don't know when doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Folks, Jesus is coming again. And Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. There is going to be a time when Christ comes back to this world. Now, when he is revealed, notice what else is going to be revealed. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, okay? Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Not only is he going to be manifest, but believers are also going to be manifest. Now, again, back in verse 3, our present position is we are what? Hidden in Christ. But there's going to come a day when we will be revealed. Okay? Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. You're just a few pages away from that. A few pages to your right and you'll be there. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We already quoted the first part of this verse. I left out the second on purpose. Okay? The first part is when he comes back. The second part is when we're revealed. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, let's stop for a minute. There are people who have made professions of faith who have died. Some of them lived a very good Christian life, and from our eyes, they looked like they were believers. Some made a profession, we're not too sure. What's going to happen when Christ comes back to this world? There's going to be a revelation about those who died, isn't there? And everyone who died in Christ will be raised. Okay, it's going to be manifest. It's going to be obvious who was a believer because they're going to come out of the grave. All right? By the way, are there people, and I want to be careful here, but are there people who are saved people who, if you were to look at their life, you would say, Can you give me an example of someone like that in the Bible? Boy, is he not a great example of that. If you had looked very good, they must be married. Or was that Ryan who said that? Very good. You guys, unity, I like that a lot. They've been married a long time. They think alike. Everything's the same. It's amazing. If you've been Lot's neighbor and you'd watched his life, you would have said, this guy, you know, if he belonged to the First Baptist Church of Sodom, which they probably didn't have because they only had a few believers, you would have said, uh-uh. But the Word of God tells us just Lot. He was a saved man. Now, let me just put a caveat here, okay? I'm not encouraging today if you're living in sin to say, oh, yeah, I'm living in sin. I'm just like Lot, man. Okay? I'm saved, but I'm like Lot. Okay? Yes, he did pay a terrible price. He experienced the chastening hand of God, didn't he? He lost everything, including his wife. And, well, I'm not going to go there. Okay. My wife's here. I got to be real careful, you know. people who have died who are professors, folks, we will know at the rapture if they were possessors, won't we? What about people who are living today or living when Christ returns? Is it going to be revealed who is a true believer? Is it possible to look like a believer and not be a believer? How much hypocrisy will there be when Christ returns? If there is some, it'll be over with, won't it? Because it will be revealed. You see, folks, I cannot go around the room and say, Lori Randolph, I know she's saved. Mark Randolph, I know he's saved. Joy Chapman, I know he's saved. Now, I can say, Lori Randolph has made a profession of faith, and as far as I know, she's a child of God. Mark has made a profession of faith. I do have some doubts about it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that. But there's going to come a day if we're alive and the Lord returns in the rapture that it's going to be very obvious if Lori Randolph is saved. Because she'll be gone. And Mark will be gone. Okay? That's my vote of confidence for you, Mark. All right? The rapture, we're hid in Christ, but the rapture, folks, it's going to reveal. And let me just stop for a moment. If you are here today and you name the name of Christ, but you have no life to back it up. You have no desire for the things of God. You come to church because you have to keep up a show. Now you can fool me. And you can fool pastor. And you can fool your husband and your wife. But when the rapture comes, folks, it's going to be revealed. Now, when is it going to happen? You say, well, wait a minute. I'll just keep living like I am until I'm about to die. Then I'll get saved. What if Christ comes first? It's going to be revealed, folks. Okay? Now, he says, back in Colossians, wherever it is, back in Colossians. By the way, It is so difficult to tell who true believers are and who non-believers are. The Lord told a parable about the kingdom, didn't he? What parable was that? Parable of the tares and the wheat. Remember the story? The master went out and they sowed good seed. And that night the enemy came and sowed tares in the field, weeds in the field. And they all sprung up together, and the servant said, "Oh no, this is terrible. There's a bunch of tares in our field. Let's go tear up the tares, okay? We're going to go pull them out. We're going to get rid of them." And the Lord said, "Oh, don't do that, because it's so difficult to tell between the tares and the real wheat. If you do that, you're going to cause harm to some of the wheat." There are evangelists to do that, by the way. I may have done that when I was talking about the rapture. I hope I didn't. You're all going to come forward now to get saved this morning. It's a difficult thing, but it will be revealed, folks, in the Lord's time. Now, let's go on, verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory," or in heaven. What a great truth. What a great truth. When Jesus returns, if we're alive, folks, that our hidden position in Christ will be revealed, and we will be taken to glory. And the Word of God says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." If you're a believer today, friends, heaven will be your home. Heaven will be your home. And you'll be revealed, and you'll be taken up to glory with the Lord forever. And you'll live in heaven for all eternity. Now, we've been talking about the resurrection, we talk about the rapture, all of these things. What's the point of the passage? Now, is the point of the passage, you're hidden Christ, someday you're going to reveal it, so let's focus in on the rapture, let's focus in on the resurrection. What's the point of the passage? Now. So what? So what? Seek those things which are above. Live like you really are, okay? Our position is in Christ. We are seated in Christ. We are seated in the heavenlies. We are citizens of heaven. Our home is in heaven. We are united with Christ, who is in heaven. It's all about heaven. And so, believer, live like it this week. As you go out to the workplace, as you go home, as you're in the neighborhood, as you're out shopping or whatever you do, keep your mind on things above, which will cause you to seek things which are above. You got it? He said, "Look, you're dead. You've been buried. You've been raised with Christ. You have a resurrected life. So live like it. You're a child of the King. So live like it. You've been freed from the bondage of sin. So live like it." Now, if you go away today and you say, "Well, what a great truth. Wow, I've been buried with Christ and died with Christ and buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ and I'm risen with Christ, and someday I'm going to go to heaven, and until then I'm going to live for the world," you've missed it. The goal is for you to go away and say, "Wow, what a great thing God has done for me. My eternity is secure. I'm hidden in Christ, who is in God. And someday, my real standing before God is going to be revealed. And therefore, today, I want to live with eternity's values in view. Today, I'm going to live for the Lord. Today, I'm going to do all I can for the Lord. Today, I'm going to seek those things which are above." Now, you do that, you'll have it. When the truth touches the heart and changes the life, then we've made it. We've got it. Now, you're going to go home after a while, hopefully after church. And you're going to be faced with all the junk again. It's pretty easy to be heavenly minded here, isn't it? I mean, I know you have to look at me, but other than that, I mean, we're talking about the Lord. We're singing about the resurrection. I mean, this is pretty easy stuff, but you get home, it's all a different matter, isn't it? And you go to work and you're faced with all the junk and it's a whole different matter. So we got to keep our mind, folks. Keep your mind on the Word of God so that you're setting your affections on things above, which will help you to seek that which is above. And that's the message of Colossians 1 through 4. Living a risen life, a resurrected life. Don't live the old life. It's a new life, folks. It's a new life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these great truths from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply them, to not allow the devil to come into our mind and to snatch these thoughts away from us. But Lord, to change our life so that as believers we're seeking and thinking about things above and seeking things which are above and living for eternity. And Lord, help me to do that in my life. God, it's so easy to let the things of the world to creep in and consume our thoughts and our time and our finances and our efforts and all of those things, and we don't seek that which is above. And Lord, help us to do it. God, give us a heavenly mindset, which leads to living for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.